Hey buddies, Frank here again with 15 Minutes with Frank, the youth ministry podcast where we talk for 15 minutes about student ministry, and I'm so glad to be back in the United States. I was just in Guatemala for a week with leading an adult missions trip, and it was fun. It was nice and hot and toasty, and worked a lot and got to hang out with a bunch of Guatemalans, and it was a super dope time. Sadly, though, I got sick towards the end. I had to fly congested. And let me just encourage you to never fly congested. One of the worst feelings in the universe, in the history of the universe, worst feelings, it is noted. It's so painful. I was like shooting pain behind my eyebrow. It was like the weirdest. It was so, and like right now, this is like, I've been you know, home for about maybe 3 days now, and my right ear still has not popped. You know what I'm saying? Like when you get in, you're in a plane and your ears get clogged up or whatever, and you usually have to yawn to get it out. It still has not popped, and my right ear is like that. So anyways, regardless, I got back on Saturday, slept, and then we had church the next morning, and we did the thing, and Sunday evening we had youth group, and now I'm here recording this podcast, and here I get to talk to you about what we did last night. What we did, yeah, it was like last night. So what we did in my student ministry last night. So let's dive in. All right, so we had our youth meeting, and we had our leader meeting at 5:30, and a couple of people couldn't show up, so I had to kind of pick up the bags for some people because of work issues and things like that. So I went over my order of service with my leaders, as well as I encouraged them with it. I should kind of just share this idea of, like, you know, when you look at your small group and you're like wondering, like, you know, are any of these kids even getting it? Like, sometimes I feel like I'm talking to a bunch of walls, right? And they're just like, nothing's happening, nothing's penetrating. Like, I feel like, you know, I'll have a kid in my youth group who's like answering questions, who's doing a good job, and then like that night they're like cussing on Instagram, right? Like what's the point, right? I just encourage them to say, like, well, look at the folks Jesus discipled, the 12 disciples. Literally 11 of them were a bunch of boneheads, and one of them tried to kill him, literally. And, like, you know, did it too. Like, they crucified Jesus, but he rose again. But anyways, the disciples, like, I mean, I even give this illustration, like, you know, you have a kid in your room, and he's like, you think he's getting, he's answering the questions, he's saying, like, some profound, deep stuff, and you're, like, having an encouraging moment, and then, like, literally when they get home, they're on Snapchat, like, flicking people off and subtweeting or something. Well, I said, look, think about Peter, right? Peter, Jesus was like, Jesus has been like working on these dudes and like pouring into them. And like, you know, Jesus is like telling Peter that, like, in all the other disciples, they can do amazing things. And like, Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on water, right? Like, he has enough faith to do that. Amazing stuff. And then he immediately looks away from Jesus, starts drowning. And Jesus is like, what are you doing? Why are you doubting? And so it's like an immediate moment of, like, yeah, there's moments where they get it and moments where they stop getting it. And so I just encourage our kids, I encourage our leaders, like, youth ministry is the only ministry in the church, one of the only ministries in the church, that there's no instant gratification. It's a long game. Youth ministry is a giant long game. Because, like, if you preach a good sermon in the main service, the worship service, the adult service, you'll get a couple pats on the back, maybe some shout outs on Facebook. If you are smiling and you hand a bulletin to someone would say, like, you know, I was greeted with smiles, you know. Or like, if you do really good and you're on the worship team, like, they'll say, like, I love the worship here. But like, student ministry, you get no feedback. And it's a long game, because the end result is seeing the fruit of your ministry 4, 5, 6 years from now. When the kid comes back from college saying, like, I remember your message on purity, or I remember your message on identity. And, you know, like, that's the long game here. And that's why I encourage our leaders. And they seem to all understand and appreciate it, right? I did something I don't usually do. I ordered a bunch of pizza. We have a relationship with a pizza chain here called Marco's Pizza. And so we ordered a bunch of pizza, and it was amazing. And I usually don't do that because it's just expensive, you know? It's like, I can get a lot more food for cheaper if I just like buy a bunch of chips as opposed to like buying 20 pizzas or whatever. But we did that, and then we had all the kids start coming in. They started eating pizza. They're having a good time. And then, yeah, we played Dead Cat. And we didn't go far. Like, we literally only made to, like, the second round this one. Just because the guy who did it, this was, like, his first time even in the ministry since we started playing Dead Cat. And so I told him, you should listen to the crowd, but he was stubborn and didn't. And so we died because he threw his cat in the lake, the neighbor's pond or whatever. So it's all good, though, because we had more time in the ministry then. So then we had announcements. We talked about camp. And then we played this game. And I think the game is called Right, Draw, Right. And listen, this game is a great concept. It's an amazing concept. But if you don't articulate it properly and like set it up for them properly, they're not going to get it. So this is what you need to do for this game. Okay, Right, Draw, Right. It's not. I didn't make this up. I've seen this before. But it flopped with my ministry last night. And I'll tell you why it flopped. So what you need to do is you need to get like, every student needs to have six like small squares of paper, right? So like, I don't know, 3 by 3 inch paper. Let's just say that. 3 by 3 inch papers, right? And each kid needs to have six pieces of paper. And then you need to have groups of six. And then the group of six sits in the circle, right? And then in the stack of papers, you have each person write a sentence. Any sentence they want on the top of their head. And so they write a sentence on the very top. Then you pass the paper to the left. And the person next to you looks at the paper, reads the sentence, puts the paper in the back, on the bottom of the pile, and then they draw the picture of how they would describe that sentence. Then they pass that stack of six papers to the left of them, and then the next person looks at the picture, puts the picture at the bottom of the pile, and writes a sentence of what they think the drawing was. And they keep doing it until it gets back to the original person. And it's supposed to be really funny because you start, it's kind of like the telephone game, right? Where you see the original sentence, and you see the drawing of what the person thought it was, then you see the next sentence of what the person thought the drawing was, and so on and so forth, and you go through the whole circle. It's a really funny idea. But if you're not very clear with the instructions and like how they should sit and how they should not like look at the previous papers that are on the bottom, you know what I'm saying? It can just kind of be super messed up. And that's what happened last night. You know, I wasn't feeling well. I was still sick. And I'm not in charge of the game, so my games guy was in charge. And he's a great games guy. He does a good job. But last night, I don't think he effectively explained super well, like, how to do the game. And he knew that. He knew that. And like, he would own it on that. But, like, so it was kind of a mess. But kids still had fun. Because there's a few kids that did get it right. And they had a good time looking at all the papers and seeing how that went. Then we did three worship songs, Relentless, Be Enthroned, and Jesus, We Love You. I think Be Enthroned was a slow song. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I think it was a slow song. I think some of the kids didn't really get it. But everyone else liked it. I think it was a good, I think all of the songs were good. Yeah. All right. And so I started my new series, and my new series was on the book of Hosea. And we're only doing 2 weeks in Hosea. And the way I split up the book of Hosea, I'm going to hopefully, Lord willing, I'll put all of this stuff, I'll put all my, there's like whole series, 2 week series in the DYM store, eventually. And you'll be able to buy, you know, my sermon notes or whatever. But I want to explain a lot of what I did because tonight or last night, I did a lot of stuff that was unique and maybe you can steal this idea in whatever context you have. So my idea is I split Hosea into two parts. The first message is on Hosea 1 and 2, chapter 1 and chapter 2, where it kind of basically sets up the story of like, Hosea married Gomer. She was a whore. That's the Bible word, not my word. And she slept with a bunch of different men. Some of the children could have been children, like, you know, illegitimate children. And like chapter 2 talks about like his effort into bringing her back, right? And like how he's relentless towards her. And like obviously all of Hosea, like the first three chapters, like this illustration of their marriage is an illustration of God and Israel, right? And so the first night, which is last night, we talked about kind of how, like when you look at the story, we're not Hosea. Like God's not trying to teach us, oh, be faithful to your spouse. Like that, we're not Hosea in the story. We are Gomer in the story. We are the whore in the story, right? And we are the one that has been like pursuing other lovers, right? And like our, you know, our idols in our own life. And that God has been relentlessly pursuing us even while we were still pursuing other lovers and other idols and stuff like that. False gods. And so that was the first night. And then next week, the next Sunday, I'm going to talk about how, like, the chapter 3, how, like, Hosea purchases and redeems Gomer back and, like, and brings her back home. And, like, how Jesus purchases us for himself. And so it's going to be a very, very gospel-centered message next week. But there's a couple cool things I did. First thing I did is this, is there's a video, and I'll put the video in the link. And there's actually a series of like seven videos or six videos in this series called like the Hosea story. And it is so well done. It's basically like a reimagining of the Hosea story like today. It's super well done. And I only showed the first video as like a bumper video for my night. And the tone of the night was pretty heavy because I used the word whore a lot. And I dressed up with a suit and a jacket and a tie. You'll see it in like the header photo of the website on frankgill.me. But like I wore like a suit and tie. I mean, just a sports coat and a tie because I wanted to pretend like I was officiating a wedding type of thing. And like, and the inserts, the student sheets that all the kids get, instead of it being the normal like student sheet with like blanks and stuff like that, it was a wedding invitation. And I'll try to put a photo of that on the website at frankgill.me. And so it was like a wedding invitation that said, you know, you were invited to Hosea and Gomer's wedding, all that other fun stuff. It was like, this is a kind of interesting point. And the most coolest thing about the whole night was I had an actual wedding dress. So I went to, like the week before I left, I went to Goodwill and I bought a wedding dress for like $30. And it was a pretty inexpensive wedding dress and it was pretty sweet. And there was a guy, there's a lady in my church who she's a seamstress. And so she has like mannequins that were, you know, available. So she let me borrow her mannequin and I put the wedding dress on the mannequin. And then like the wedding dress was like in the middle of the room. And like it was eye catcher. Everyone was like, why is there a wedding dress in the room? And it's actually it was at Goodwill, but it was a really pretty nice wedding dress, right? And it was for a very, very, very petite woman because like the mannequin was too big for this wedding dress. We had to like pin it tight or whatever. And like that wedding dress was there and it's there for a reason. I'll explain in a second. And so I opened up, so I showed the video when they sit down after worship, they showed the video, the bumper video. That's going to be on the website. And then I'm up there, like they didn't see me. Like I left during worship and I came back, changed my clothes. So like it was a surprise to them for me wearing a suit coat, you know, sports coat and a tie. And I even changed my shoes, right? And I'm, you know, talking about how like this is what I look like when I officiate weddings and stuff like that. And I talk about how you're invited to a wedding, but a wedding like no other. God appointed a woman for Hosea, and that's pretty sweet. But this woman would be a woman that's going to cheat on him multiple times. And like I kind of shared that, like the pain that Hosea feels when his wife cheats on him is the pain that God feels when we turn to idols, and kind of like showing them this idea of like how like our sin is serious and God takes our sin seriously and he is hurt when we sin against him. And so the night was very heavy in nature. In fact, so much so that like the week before I left, I sent an email to all the parents warning them that the sermon we're going to use in Hosea talks about the word whore a lot and like has some like heavy, you know, thoughts in it, you know. And I wasn't explicit, I wasn't like cursing or describing sexual stuff, but like I just used the word, you know, she's sleeping in the bed of another man and like she's having sex with other men. Like I said those words unashamedly because I warned the parents about it, right? And so we had that series and it was really good. I think we had good responses. Apparently small group time went really well, and like some kids kind of just for the first time really thought, like they never realized that how much their sin hurts God. Like they get that Jesus died for our sin, but they never really understood that like our sin affected God to the degree it did, to the fact that like he would be hurt like in the same way like a spouse would be hurt if you cheated on them. And I think that's a really cool like idea. That's why I picked Hosea in the first place. That's why I wanted to preach in Hosea, because I know there's a few youth pastors that preach on Hosea, but not many. And I wanted to do, and I felt like Hosea is one of those books that's like, it so explicitly like points to the gospel. Like we are Gomer, we are sinful, and we hurt God by our sin, but God is relentless in pursuing us, that he chases after us in spite of us. I just love that imagery in Hosea, and I love that imagery of how it relates to the gospel. So anyways, had small groups, kids were sent off. It was a good night. Like, I wasn't saying good father. It was a good night. So anyways, I realized last week we had a winner, and I gave out the shout out for the winner of who won the shirt. But the person on iTunes the person I chose from the iTunes rate and review did not answer me. He didn't email me. He didn't contact me. Like, so I'm going to say this again. And I'm going to give you guys till next week. All right. if you want to win a free shirt or mug from the frankgill.me store, right? You just need a rate and review on iTunes. And I'm going to open it back up. And next week, I'm going to choose someone to win a free shirt or mug of their choice. All you have to do is go to iTunes, find my podcast, and rate and review, all right? Give it 5 stars because this is a 5-star worthy podcast, obviously, right? You love this. I love this. I love this probably more than you do, but you love it a lot, so write it. So give me 5 stars, comment, talk about how, I don't know, this is fun to listen to or whatever, and then let your friends know about this, right? If you know other youth pastors, share it. If you're in a Facebook group, be like, hey, what podcast you listen to? Hey, I listen to 15 Minutes with Frank, the best beard in youth ministry. Whatever you want to say, I'm totally flattered by it, all right? So share this, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe to my mailing list at frankgill.me. All the stuff I've talked about that has links to it is in the is on the website at frankgill.me. And if you have not subscribed to my mailing list, I'm giving out my free ebook, 10 Tips on Preaching to Students. So if you subscribe to my mailing list through frankgill.me, you'll get my ebook. It's like when you go to frankgill.me, it's the first thing you'll see. You can be able to subscribe to my mailing list and you'll get my ebook for free. Okay, guys, this is a full podcast. I think we're good. So until next week. Oh, next week I have some stuff. Like I'm doing a rap video this week to thank my leaders, and we have a party on Saturday for my volunteers, and like I'm teaming up with the children's ministry. Anyway, we'll talk about that later because I don't know if any of my volunteers are listening to this. And if you are, why are you listening to this? You're a volunteer. I'm just kidding. Thanks. I appreciate my volunteers listening to me. I talked about my podcast in Guatemala, and so people who are not in youth ministry are probably listening to this podcast right now, and that's cool. It's kind of weird, but it's cool. So anyways, share this podcast. Talk to a friend. Until next time, guys. See you later, buddies. Bye.